Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Ascatya Deshatharine Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. We have heard from His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj, graduate from Yale University, one of the most empowered speakers in all the world. We have heard from Garuda Prabhu, 3 master's degrees, PhD from Harvard University, professor, scholar, and now me. You know, I went to one semester of a junior college, then got my higher education in a cave in a jungle. My professors were monkeys. But this is Prabhupada and Krishna's mercy, that whoever we are, whether we're Hanuman or a little spider, we all can serve according to our capacity. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur gives the analogy that Krishna's glories are limitless. The philosophy of pure devotional service has no beginning, no end. Like a sky. And each and every one of us, we are like little birds trying to somehow or other cover the length of the entire sky. Or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, when he speaks to Srila Rupa Goswami at Prayag, he says the topics of devotional service, the loving relations, the rasas between Krishna and his devotees, and those mellows are like an ocean that has no shore and no bottom. Limitless ocean. And he said the most we could describe is just one little drop from that ocean. And this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vedaishta Saravaraham Eva Vidyo Vedanta Krit Veda Vedeva Chaham. He's the compiler of all the Vedas. He's the knower of all the Vedas. And by all the Vedas is he to be known. And yet he is telling, he can only speak a drop from this limitless ocean. But then he tells the nature of that little drop. That drop has the capacity of completely inundating, flooding the entire material creation. That is Krishna. He's bigger than the biggest, he's smaller than the smallest. And in whatever way he manifests himself, he's all attractive. yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharat. Garudaji Prabhu was speaking about Krishna's love for Arjuna. It's the most secret of all secrets. And it's that love that Krishna has for all living beings, aham bija pratapita, that he descends into this world. Again and again and again. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Kodatveche Nama. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is extending that love, revealing it to the highest absolute capacity. Krishna showed his love for the Hare Krishna. For the Brijbasis in his loving pastimes, Braj Leela. He manifested his love for the demons with his weapons. Actually, in Vrindavan, Krishna never used a weapon. The most powerful of the asuras, he just delivered them in his own sweet way, with his hands. How did he deliver Putana? He was only about 1 or 2 days old. With his little hands, he squeezed her body and then he sucked her milk. And to Shakatasura, with his little tiny soft feet, he just happened to apparently accidentally kick the cart and delivered him. Trinavarta, he went high in the sky and he just put his arm around Trinavarta kind of affectionately and just squeezed. Vamana Dev became very big. Narasingha Dev was very big. Varaha became very big. But Krishna, when he was a little baby, he was manifesting the most inconceivable powers. Vatsasura, Agasura, Bakasura. And then after he left, he never used weapons, because in Vrindavan, no need. He was a cowherd boy. But when he came to Mathura and later Dwarka, he had his bows, his arrows, his armies, his Sudarshan Chakra, his clubs. And Dantavakra in particular, who we are reading about today, he was one of the most incredible personalities. There's no one like him today. He was so angry, krodha, completely overcome. He was burning in the fire of krodha, anger. His ego was so insulted. His attachments were so frustrated. His best friends, Shishupal, Pondraka, Salva, they were all killed by Krishna. And it was intolerable for him. And as His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj was saying, he was Krishna's maternal cousin. Actually, for Krishna, he was paternal cousin. Krishna was his maternal cousin. And sometimes it's like that. We become most envious of people that we're close to. If somebody does something good from some other religious movement, it's tolerable. But if somebody does good in our own movement, that could be really intolerable. because it strikes us in the heart. Envy is something that is hits hardest when people are close to us. Close relationships can bring the greatest joy, the greatest suffering, or all sorts of other types of emotions. Duryodhana and Yudhisthira and Arjuna, they were actually like brothers. They were cousins, but they were like brothers. They were brought up in the same palace. They went to the same school under the same teacher, Dronacharya. They were cousin brothers. And that's why Duryodhana was so terribly envious of Bhima and Yudhisthira. Because they were close and they had what he wanted. And he was totally blinded by that envy. Even Krishna, who's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was sent by Arjuna and Yudhisthira to try to make peace with Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra. And Krishna was really a peacemaker. He came and spoke with such logic, with such philosophy, with such compassion, and with such authority. Because of the envy. Ultimately, they knew Krishna was right, but they couldn't accept it. They were blinded. And ultimately, the battle of Kurukshetra happened. And how envious was Hiranyakashipu to Prahlad, who was his own son? A little 5-year-old child. Dhruva Maharaj was so hurt by his stepmother. Ram was banished by Kaikeyi, who was like his own. Previously, she loved him as much as her own son, Bharat. So it's very interesting how these great scriptural passages show the intensity of animosity that can come toward those who are close to. Dantavakra was so angry that Krishna was excelling by defeating everyone else. He completely lost his mind. He had armies. He didn't even bring his armies. He just came running with a club and screaming. And his power was so much. Shukadeva Goswami tells, with every step he was taking as he was running, there was earthquakes. The entire earth shook. Is there anyone like that today? Who can shake the earth? He was screaming to kill Krishna. So this is the power of anger. How it can cover us over. The Bhagavad Gita explains when we identify with this body and mind and we have desires to enjoy with this body and mind and those desires are unfulfilled, it becomes anger. Gross or subtle. When the ego is frustrated, we become angry. When our sensual or emotional expectations are not fulfilled, we become angry. And from anger we lose our intelligence. And here Dantavakra, how he lost his intelligence. Like a moth flying into a fire. He actually thought that he could conquer Krishna. But he wasn't just an ordinary, like the kind of demons we think of today. As His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj and Garuda Prabhu were explaining, he's speaking eloquent poetry. When he's attacking Krishna with his harsh words, it's beautiful sense. Sanskritam. Dantavakra would never say Sanskrit. He would say Sanskritam. Ultimately, yayatamam prapadyante tams tadaiva pajamyam. As we approach Krishna, he reciprocates accordingly. Dantavakra came with a club, and it describes somebody who's so big and so strong that he's running and he's roaring and the entire earth is shaking. And he has a gigantic club. And with all of his strength, he's screaming and howling in anger. He strikes Krishna right on top of the head. Krishna doesn't move. He's standing there. Which was actually really, it probably hurt. That probably hurt Dantavakra more than what was going to happen. Pain to the ego goes deeper than pain to the body. He screamed. He insulted Krishna with so many terrible words. And then he hit Krishna on the top of the head with all his might, and Krishna stood there as if nothing happened. Can you imagine how that must have torn his ego apart? He couldn't even get Krishna to move. Indra sent the clouds and rains of devastation to Vrindavan. And he couldn't, for 7 days and seven nights, he couldn't budge Govardhan Hill from his little finger. Couldn't even remove a single leaf from a tree on Govardhan Hill. His ego was totally crushed. And he surrendered. Because he's a demigod. But Dantavakra, he's in the role of an asura. So Krishna's standing there, unaffected. And then out of his causeless mercy, to finally bring his beloved, intimate devotee, Vijay, back home, back to Godhead. Everything Krishna does is so perfect. We can't try to analyze Krishna by our relative mundane conceptions. How does Krishna show his intimate, sweet love for Vijay, who's now in the role of Dantavakra? Krishna takes his club and smashes him right in the chest, and it breaks Dantavakra's heart. This broke it right open. Dantavakra vomited blood and fell to the ground with his hair scattered everywhere. It was really a beautiful scene. And everyone who was there saw something beautiful happen. The light of the Atma, the soul of Dantavakra, emerged from his body, went into the air, and entered into Krishna's body. But he didn't attain Sayujya Mukti. He He didn't enter into Krishna's effulgence. He went back home to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, to engage in the eternal loving pastimes of the Lord. And that's what he was longing for in his heart of hearts. He was forgetful of what was in his heart. Ultimately, Jai and Vijay, and I'm going to end with a little analogy because we have just heard such highly academically, devotionally surcharged, pure devotional service described by my two God brothers. But this simple caveman is going to just give one little more example. Jai and Vijay, they loved Krishna. They loved Lord Narayan. They made some mistakes. Ultimately, it was the Yogamaya potency. Krishna wanted to fight with them. Krishna wanted to attract all of our hearts by using them to be demons. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and now Shishupal and Dandavakra. What we're reading is the final end of the three births of the two doorkeepers of Vaikuntha. This is it. That's what everyone thought. But when Lord Chaitanya came, Jai and Vijay wanted to participate in that. So they came as Jagai and Madhai. They actually volunteered for a bonus. And Krishna didn't even kill them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made them into pure Paramhamsa Vaishnav, great devotees of the Lord. But Jai and Vijay, they love Krishna, but somehow or other they got bewildered. And they took these material forms as these asuras. And they were feeling lust and greed and envy and anger and illusion and so much hatred, revenge, completely immersed in the material experience. But ultimately, in their heart of hearts, they just wanted the Lord to kill them so that they could go back to their abodes. And ultimately, that's the way all living entities are in this material existence. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Kabunoi Saravanadi Sudhijiti Koriya Yodha. Love for Krishna is within all of our hearts. Mamayvam so jiva loke, we're eternally part of Krishna. Jivera swarupoi Krishna aranityadas, we're eternal servants of Krishna. That's who we are. That's what we've always been. So ultimately, the soul is longing to go back to Krishna, to love Krishna, Satchit Ananda, to enter into the space of eternity knowledge and total happiness. But covered by the material experience, we're engaging in so many activities, speaking so many words, completely caught up by the material energy. And even as devotees, it's so common that we become so caught up by circumstances. We get so caught up by circumstances and we become so passionate about them that even when we try to make a solution, we make the problem worse for ourselves, for others, for the world. Jai and Vijay, ultimately, they just wanted to go back to Godhead. And Krishna knew that. And similarly, all of us, ultimately, we just want to go back to Godhead. The heart is crying for that. The soul is crying for that. And just as Krishna sent Dantavakra back to Godhead at that moment, Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar, Krishna's descended in his name in this age of Kali to give us the same experience. To send us to actually fulfill the soul and the heart's truest desires. Krishna descended as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give us that. And Srila Prabhupada, he asked us just to receive the holy name of Krishna, to receive his instructions and to share them with others. His Guru Maharaj said, if you do this, you will benefit and everyone will benefit. So this is our life and soul. So we are very much in love with Dantavakra. Because he's an eternal loving associate of Narayan from the spiritual world. Such an intimate relationship that he induced, as Hiranyakashipu, he induced Narasimhadeva to give us all his darshan. As Hiranyaksha, he induced Varahadeva to come and give his darshan. As Ravana and Kumbhakarna, if not for them, the beautiful Ramayana would have never been spoken. Ram came, induced by their presence. And Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, especially descended because of people like Shishupal and Dantavakra. And like them, we all have our place waiting for us in the spiritual world. Let us take shelter of the holy names. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us we should chant Trinarapi Sunichena Taror Ibasihishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadan. If we chant the holy names in that spirit, then the holy name very sweetly, like the club of Dantavakra, will completely crush our ego and awaken our true ego. Crush our false ego and awaken our real ego. Where we have our place in the spiritual world. Thank you very much.